This is Neil Burns from Draw the Line. You're listening to Monday Night Talk on WATD. I'm back in the saddle again, baby.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we want to thank the good senator for his conversation. What'd you think, Joe? Did you enjoy that segment?
Yeah, I did. I did. That was a good segment, listening to the senator talk about all the stuff.
Joe would have been in here, but Joe is actually prepping our next guests who are going to be coming in just, well, they're already here, but we'll be part of the conversation in just a moment. Just a couple of quick notes. We want to always thank our sponsors, S Bank, where success starts with S, branches in Weymouth, Hanover, East Bridgewater, and Quincy. Online at s-bank.com. Also, Joe's favorite place, McGuigan's Pub, in downtown Whitman, known for its friendly pub atmosphere and 54-foot mahogany bar. Online at McGuigan's, McGuigans, pub.com. And also the Life Care Center of the South Shore, located on the Driftway in Scituate, doing whatever it takes to provide quality patient care. Now we shift gears, and we have in studio joining us Doris Creary. Doris is the former chair of the Marshfield Coastal Advisory, and she's also going to be kind of our key point person to talk about our conversation today, not only the Biggert Waters Act, but also talk about some of the new maps for Plymouth County. And he found his way into the conversation, and rightly so. We have State Representative Jim Cantwell is joining us. Doris, Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe, kind of give us the thought. This was now, I want to give credit where credit's due. Joe, of course, folks know Joe for his extensive work when it comes to protecting the coastal communities, when it comes to seawall work, and when it comes to, you know, possibilities that our homes could be flooded. Joe kind of is kind of the expert in that area, and he's kind of helped line this up because, you know, we're getting to hurricane season. We're getting to the time of year when we have to start worrying about this, right, Joe?
Yes, and thanks, Kevin. And I thought it was it's even more important than that, because what we're going to be talking about tonight is developing right now, and that is the Biggert Waters Act, as you mentioned, and also the FEMA flood maps that are all new. I have my committee is the Marshfield Citizens Coastal Coalition.
Correct.
We're a citizens group, not affiliated with the town.
Why is that? Do you feel that it was best that at least the citizens had a voice at the table?
Well, I think that, but I think we're really, and in fact, our mission statement states that we are a source of information, and we're not making recommendations. We're not doing any of that type of stuff. We leave that for the town. The town needs to be taking care of that type of stuff. All we are doing is giving out and making understandable some of the information that FEMA is put out there,
okay.
Some of the more complicated stuff. And so part of my committee is here tonight, Doris Creary, who has stepped forward to be on my Coastal Coalition, and she's been a very valuable resource. And, of course, Representative Jim Cantwell, who has been a tireless advocate for his coastal communities, Scituate and Marshfield, but also for the communities across the state dealing with coastal issues, as legislation that he's passed and talked about here before. And so I'm going to kind of turn it over to these guys to start off, because I can talk forever on this stuff, but we have the experts here tonight, so I want to lead them into the conversation.
Yeah, and I also think it's kind of good that you and I could kind of share the view, the as far as point to the questions that maybe some of the folks, if they have questions, if they want to, on Twitter, I'm at Kevin Tocci. If you want to, hashtag Monday Night Talk. If you have a question in regards to the conversation we're having, or like us on Facebook, Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. Like the page. If you have a question, post it. And it could be something that I asked Doris, or I could put to Jim, or you might even get Dennis, Doris's husband, into the conversation, because he's also here too.
So I'd like to start off kind of with Doris. We've already heard that she was the former chair of the Marshfield Coastal Advisory Committee back in the 90s. Doris is kind of our resident expert on the changes coming in the FEMA flood map. So Doris, I'm going to kind of give it over to you to talk about the Biggert Waters Act and what that is going to mean for coastal residents.
What it's going to mean for coastal residents, and for a very large number, it is going to mean a rate increase. And the reason it's going to mean a rate increase is because of some things which I will mention that people may not be aware of concerning their homes. But last year in July, they passed this act. And the act, what it did was it was to take the flood insurance program from an affordable flood insurance premium to an actuarially based flood insurance premium. And the idea of it was really to assess things at the full risk, not at, and you've all often heard, subsidized program. And I want to just take 1 second to say the subsidy within the flood insurance program is not a taxpayer subsidy. I want to clear that up right now. It is what's known as a cross subsidy, which means other people who are paying premiums for flood insurance pay higher premiums because other people are paying lower premiums.
Oh, goodness.
So there's part of the reality of it and why they want to switch it around, but it's not taxpayer funded. And that's
Do you get that question from people as far as did they want you to break that down? Were they fear that the taxpayers are footing the bill for this?
Most people think the taxpayers are fitting the bill for flood insurance, and nothing could be further from the truth. Flood insurance really represents responsible homeowners paying premiums. And I can honestly say I have paid premiums on just one of my properties to as much as $5,400 a year.
Oh, goodness.
So we're not talking, you know, small amounts of money here, large amounts of money, depending on, and that's a high-risk house. So it had a high premium. But what I want to do is explain to people what they've done. And it's going to start with, there's a couple of concepts people need to understand.
Okay.
When the Flood Insurance Act was put in place, which was 1968, the town adopted the act. It was around, the date was in 1977, mm-hmm. Is the date. So houses built prior to 1977 are no longer going to have the subsidized rate. They were given a special rate because they pre-existed the requirements that FEMA put on properties that were built in the floodplain. And by that, I mean that those properties are now going to have a higher premium rate, and they're going to take away that benefit. It's about 25 to 30% of your policy's discount is what they've estimated it at. It's only about 10 or so percent of the properties of the United States. Mm. But here's the sad part. 45% of them fall in the New England area. Wow. So for New England, it means one in two houses are going to get hit with this. And it is not going to just hit residents. It is going to be hitting businesses. It's going to hit rental properties. It's going to hit second homes. And those three that I just named, businesses, residents, and second homes, they've already phased it out for them. In other words, full risk rates are now being applied to newly purchased property, to property not previously insured, and to policies that are repurchased after a lapse. Those are all underway. So if you fall in that group, and then premiums for older, that's the ones that were built before the flood insurance rate maps, that are non-primary residents, and these are in another area which the NFIP area that they look out for is the special flood hazard area, will increase by 25% annually until they reflect the full risk. This is already underway.
Okay,
but beginning on October of 2013, so a couple of months,
yep.
And what we're going to have then are the premiums for pre-firm properties, okay, that's the ones, the older ones that were before the maps, are going to be on business properties, severe repetitive loss, and I'll come back and tell you what that is, whether it's a 1-4 family residence, and for properties of which have claimed payments that exceed the fair market value of their home, okay, they will be increasing by 25% annually until they reach that risk. So They're already in the works.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, you know, when talking, the one thing that I've learned in this whole process is when talking about this stuff, there's a lot of acronyms.
Well, there's a lot of acronyms, and I'm kind of wondering if there should be, if you guys want to kind of talk in strictly nuts and bolts here.
Or sure.
Instead of soup to nuts, but nuts and bolts. So folks who aren't, they don't get lost in the conversation.
Sure, just to give you...
What does this mean?
Sure. Just to give you an idea, Kevin, in Marshfield, we keep referring to pre-firm houses. Yes. Firm is flood insurance rate map, and while that acronym can be explained, pre-firm means that the house was built before your town adopted the flood insurance rate maps, because there was a time when we did not have flood insurance rate maps. In Marshfield, to give you an idea, that exact date is October 14th, 1977. So if your house was built before that date, you are what they call, and Doris has been talking very well about, the pre-firm structures. Now, the other thing that Doris is going to, or has talked about in the past and is talking about tonight, is grandfathering, because that is also looking to be something of the past by the passing of Biggert Waters. So for an example, if you were in an A zone and you were put into a V zone, your house is grandfathered. You continue
on
the A zone rate. You are paying A zone even though you're in a V zone. And obviously V zones are going to be a higher rate than an A zone, because
what's a V zone?
Sure, I'll get into that in a second.
Velocity.
So you pay, but grandfathering's gone. So you will now pay that V zone price. Now, you asked what the zones are. There used to be V, A, B, C, X. They've gotten rid of B and C zones.
Oh, goody.
There are now V, A, and X zones.
Okay.
So you are in a V, and there's two Vs. There's V and VE. The E simply means that there's an elevation determined. That's a velocity zone. You see wave action in a V zone. In A zone, there's a bunch of different A's. There's AE, AO, A. The E, each one means something a little different, but it's essentially one. A is a zone. And that means, and the different, the E and the O will mean different things based on where you are.
Okay.
And the X zone.
Who determines what zone you're in?
Well, see, this is the tricky part, and this is where we kind of move away from Biggert Waters, and we move into the new FEMA flood maps.
Okay.
What determines the zone you're in my part of this is understanding the maps, and Doris has helped me greatly in doing that.
Is he kind of failing the map reading areas?
No, he's doing very good. Okay.
The maps are new throughout Plymouth County and really throughout the nation. And what these maps are doing in a lot of places is they're elevating and increasing V and A zones. And V and A zones, Doris already mentioned of an area called the Special Flood Hazard Area. That is a V or an A zone. That means you're required to have flood insurance under, you know, if your house has a mortgage on it.
And I think what's important to mention on the requirement is that if you have a federally backed mortgage, you must have flood insurance. So for people...
Say that one more time.
If you have a federally backed mortgage, which about 95% of all mortgages are, you must have flood insurance if you're in the special flood hazard area.
Goodness.
Which is a V or an A zone.
Right. So what they're doing with these maps now are expanding them, as Joe said.
Okay.
And so they're going to put properties that never were required to have flood insurance before into the zone where they're required to have flood insurance. And people's first word may be when they receive a note from their bank saying their payments have gone up by $200 a month or $300 to pay for their flood insurance that they are now required to have.
Yes. So, go ahead, Jim.
No, okay.
All I was going to say is that, so to Doris's point, the only zone, if you're in a floodplain and you're in an X zone, you do not require flood insurance. Now, here's the catch. In these new maps, in a lot of cases, they've increased V zones in areas like marshes.
Right.
Well, that also pushes A zones out a little further. So if you were in an X zone, or you were near an X zone, and either way, you didn't require flood insurance, the chances are you're now being included in an A zone. And as soon as you hit an A zone, you're required to have that flood insurance. So a lot of people are listening to all this stuff, and they're going, well, this is confusing.
Well, my fear is that we're going to lose our audience.
Yeah,
I don't want that to happen.
And we don't want that.
We don't want that.
So there's something really simple.
We want to save for our next guest who are here.
Yeah, there's something really simple that can be done. And in fact, this is probably the most immediate thing that the NFIP, the National Flood Insurance Program, has endorsed this, and they're pushing the same thing, and we're just a voice for them in pushing this as well, is to get, if you are not, and we'll make this simple, if you're not in a flood zone or you are in an X zone and you're being put into a flood insurance required zone, so you're being put into an A or a V zone, or if you're in a pre-firm house and you're being made into a post-firm house, you are eligible for what they call a PRP, a preferred rate policy. And NFIP is urging people in these cases to get the PRP. So what is a PRP? Preferred risk policy. What that does is for a minimum of $129, you can get flood insurance coverage that will increase 20% a year for several years until the federal government feels that you are at your actuarial risk cost. And basically, it buys you time to get ready for your full price premium. That's what this all boils down to, is people are going to want to know what they can do, and it comes down to really that.
I want to give our state representative, who's been sitting here quietly and patiently waiting for his turn, give me your thoughts on this, and tell me where you kind of, what your thoughts are as a lawmaker here in this state.
Sure. I think one of my greatest concerns was the information process to make sure that people would be aware of some of the changes that are coming. And I want to credit Doris, because Doris, back when she was running the Marshfield Coastal Advisory Committee back in the 90s, I was on the Board of Selectmen. She brought that issue to us then. Because of Doris's work, we got a $500,000 grant. We're only one of 13 communities in the entire country that was recognized by FEMA for doing advanced preparatory work.
Right.
And it was really your work and your committee, Doris, so I thank you. When Doris came, we just had a meeting, Kevin, on June 14th, and I know Joe and I were talking about this before, about addressing coastal issues. We had Congressman Keating here in Marshfield, discussed issues that we don't want to have time for tonight, but issues about seawalls, where we were able to get $20 million to help communities for seawall protection. But Doris presented there and said, we really have an issue. And the issue was, we have, with FEMA having the new act that the Congress has passed, it's not a state act, but with the new act, that there were going to be changes with the National Flood Insurance Program, a belief that they were going to have to try to find ways to keep it solvent. Doris does a great job talking of how they've already been managing that effectively. But my concern is here. My concern is that we have people right now, Marshall, Scituate, all up and down the coast, who are going to be now drawn into these new areas. They're not aware of it. They're going to be asked to pay, in some cases, $3,000, $5,000. Again, not aware of it. So the work that has to be done right now is to alert people. I will tell you, both towns, both Marshfield and Scituate, have been working very hard on this. I just had a meeting last week with Trish Vincasey, who is the town administrator in Scituate, the town planner, Laura Harbottle. We also had the building inspector there. They are putting forward, they're having a meeting tomorrow night in Scituate with the Board of Selectmen. Marshfield, just as you know, you asked us about as we came in, Marshfield was addressing this from last week, town officials likewise doing the work, but the time is ticking, and we need to get this information out.
It is coming up on 7 o'clock, and you are listening to 95.9 WATD here in Marshfield as we are speaking about flood insurance, how the maps are changing. We'll be doing that for a couple more moments, and then coming up in just a couple of minutes, we have Ollie Spears and John Williams, who are going to be here chatting with us. So stay tuned for that. But back as Jim, was there something that you want to follow up on?
Just a very quick thing, yep, is that because Doris was telling us off air before, when Joe and I were meeting with Doris and Dennis, and she was letting people know, or at least letting us know, that there is grant money that's available, Doris, and you were talking about through NFIP.
Yes, there is money that is available. The town would have to apply for this money, and we'd have to get it in place. So for people who were maybe badly hit this winter with storms, there could now be money available if the towns apply for it and are able to put it in, that would help them fix their homes so they might not have a problem. You wouldn't get it in time to do it for this winter, but probably the winter after you could be in shape. But the bigger issue that I see for people is them is that they need to know if their home is going into one of these flood maps, because the last way anybody wants to learn about it is when your bank notifies you, and the town has to adopt these maps. Once the town, and the town, by the way, must adopt these maps, because if the town does not adopt the maps, we would lose all of our disaster assistance from FEMA.
And yeah, and that's a good point, Doris. And I think what people don't understand also is these maps do have to be adapted at town meeting. And I think that's the key thing, is that we, you know, Paul Halkiotis and I, the town planner from Marshfield, talked extensively this past week. And one of the things he mentioned is the last time he tried doing this, people were claiming that he was putting a gun to their head, and that, you know, if they didn't vote for the maps, that we would get all this stuff pulled away. Well, that's the truth. I mean, it's not him that's, it's not anyone even at the state level that's saying any of this. It's FEMA. It says that even though these maps may be increasing your premiums, if you do not adopt these maps at town meeting and they do not get voted in, then when it comes time for disaster assistance, federally backed insurance policies, they will not be there. That FEMA will pull out of all of those obligations that they've made to the communities. So it is critical, as bad as these are, that they may be hitting people right now, it could be a million times worse if these maps are not adapted, written or as amended. And I want to spend just a quick minute on that. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, about 2 minutes.
I just want to make a mention that part of what we're doing at the Citizens Coastal Coalition is we're just looking at ways, because we are in a 90-day period, to possibly appeal and change these maps. Now, there's two ways
to
do it.
That's an important message.
That is an important message. Okay. In these 90 days, which expire October 16th, we can amend the maps through a process that we're looking into now, which would have to prove them scientifically wrong, or we'll have more time, and I got the info today from FEMA, to apply for LOMAs, and that is done, basically LOMA, Letter of Map Amendment. People can do that at...
It's full of acronyms today.
People can do that at any time outside the 90 days, and it's a much more realistic application that can be done online, or it can be done through a paperwork process, and we will be addressing both, approaching both, as we go through this process.
Jim Cantwell, I thank you for being here. Doris Crary, former chair of Marshfield Coastal Advisory and part of the Citizen Group. Anything you want to say in closing, honey?
Yes, I do.
And if you have a website for folks to find information, please give
I'm going to let Joe handle that. But what I want to say is we're having a meeting on Thursday night at St. Anne's, and we would love
Where
to...
Where is St. Anne's?
St. Anne's in Marshfield.
Okay. It's on Ocean Street.
On Ocean Street.
I know there's
Street.
A St. Anne's in West Bridgewater.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And what we'll be doing there is explaining more and in detail where people will be able to, you know, ask questions of us. And so we hope to have many of the people, not only from Marshfield, and we will have our Marshfield maps there, but the beginning of the meeting may answer questions.
Joseph, close it out.
That's right, and that meeting's Thursday night at 7 p.m. at St. Anne's in Marshfield, and our website is www.marshfieldcoastalcoalition.org.
I want to thank you all for coming in and being part of this conversation. Maybe we revisit it when, you know, the cooler months ahead.
Yes.
Prevail, and we find out more information after the 90-day period. We step aside. When we come back, we speak with Ollie Spears and John Williams. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.